friends, welcome in. This is Jawa Chatter, and for the first time in a long time, we have all three of us back together. Nerdy, who is making weird faces at the camera.
That's me. It hasn't been that long. We were in Disneyland together 2 weeks ago.
Well, on this podcast, from what people see or hear, it's been a bit, but yes, Disneyland does also actually weirdly feel like a long time ago to me for some reason.
It does.
And that's Claudia, and she's not making weird faces at the camera. I appreciate that. Thank you. No, I'm just kidding. It doesn't matter.
And with my weird faces, Jeffers.
It's expressions. It's come on.
Expressions. He's expressing himself. And I'm Jeffers, and I'm just here. I'm just your host, sort of. But anyways.
I do love that this is a podcast, and you were like, the first thing I'm going to do is make a physical call out.
Mm-hmm. We have YouTube.
Nerdy's visual gag.
We have YouTube. If you don't not subscribe, you should go do that. Nerdy's visual gag. Well, it's hard because I'm looking like right at your face, and it's hard for me to like pretend like it's not happening.
You look at me during this. Refuse to have your video up.
Yeah. All right. He's making fun of me looking at him.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep the boys on track, guys.
I just like looking at you. All right. Okay, so today we are going to do a just quick summary overview of how we each felt about episode 5, but the main portion of this episode is really about predicting what's gonna happen in the last episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi, which, you know, we'll get into. So quickly, let's go and say, Nerdy, how did you feel overall about episode 5?
It was great.
Great.
That was pretty good. It was a pretty good episode of a TV show. I liked it a lot. Obviously, if you go to like Nerdy Nightly, you can see, Clarissa and I talked about it for like 45 minutes, but it is one of those moments where the payoff of so much of the promise of the show was executed in a way that was so satisfying that to me, it's just exactly what I wanted. Right. Like,
sweet.
I've been really enjoying the way the show has paired with its like corresponding episode of the Skywalker saga. And so this take on a thematic relationship binding this episode to Empire Strikes Back and the ways it calls back to Empire Strikes Back while also setting up the way in which the rebellion gets to be the rebellion that's in Empire Strikes Back, I think is really smart on the part of Deborah Chow and the team behind it. I think that there's been a lot of discourse about the show online. There's been a lot said about wanting to see flashbacks and wanting to see Vader be like full on Vader and wanting all of these things. And then we get this episode 5 that is in structural terms supposed to be the climax, right? You get the climax before you get the resolution. And so we got a lot of the things that fans online have been complaining about not getting up until this point. And it's almost like they came at the point in the story they were supposed to come at. So for me, I was really happy with it. And I love Tala. Spoilers for Obi-Wan Kenobi. We should say
spoilers for episode 5.
Because we're going to talk about what we think it leads to. So I'm going to say
for the show as a whole, since we're going to predict things.
Since I've said that, like, may she rest in peace. Like, Tala was only in what, 3 episodes of the show.
Yep.
But she made such an impact in 3 episodes.
Yeah, and Indira Varma is so good, and like her May the Force Be With You is just one of my favorite moments in the whole show, and I really loved it.
Cool. Yeah.
Claudia.
For me, this was probably one of my probably my favorite episode. Just the framing from the callbacks to me in the way that they showed each shot throughout in strategy. And also just like seeing that like light or that little bit of hope inside Obi-Wan. Like when he read on the wall is like the light may be dim, but it's still there when it's dark on that. That meant a lot. And it also just like him connecting with Tala and Tala telling a little bit more of her background and their sacrifice and what she's willing to do. She was always willing to lay down her life. So like her saying, you know, may the force be with you, like you just said, phenomenal moment. Also her droid who just like laid on top of her. That was heartbreaking, but perfect. And also getting some final bits from Reva that we kind of predicted, I think, but really needed to finally feel some satisfaction from this character about her angst and where it really comes and originates from. So it gave us all of that, I believe. I really think that.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I felt good about Reva, finally. Maybe partially because it just confirmed some of the things I tried to predict. So it's more selfish, I think, than anything. I'm kidding, but...
Have you not liked Reva up until this point?
No, I've liked Reva and the actress has done a good job. I felt similar to you, at least at the discussions we've had, where she's felt a bit one note only because they're kind of masking what her intentions were or why she was doing things that she was doing. And but really, as the show went on, you started to see more hints of what it was. And like it was kind of what I thought from the very first scene, which was she was left behind and she, you know, everyone around her, whole family slaughtered. And she partially blames Kenobi because like, yeah, that was your Padawan. You were a Jedi Master. You were on the council. And where were you? Like, you didn't come save us. You didn't help us. And the only part I didn't know about, obviously, was that she was playing. She was doing all this to get to Vader. She was to get close to him so she could take us, take her shot. That I didn't obviously predict. But why she hated Kenobi, or at least why she was so obsessed, partially was because how she felt. But really, the main portion was to get close to Vader. So that was really interesting to me. And so, like, I felt even, I felt very satisfied with her character after this episode. And I was pretty patient about it. I think obviously some people in the discourse online, really not patient at all, go figure. I was just patiently waiting to see what the payoff was, and it was good. It was great. I loved it. And for this episode specifically, though, that was a great moment. But I think my favorite, obviously, I mean, opening scene, like I just about cried. I just like had no idea they were going to do that. I mean, again, I don't put my own expectations on what I want out of things when I watch them, like a story. Like, I just don't go like, this needs to be in it for this to be good. I don't do that. I do my best to go into it with an open mind, like where the writers take us is where they take us. And I, but to be, to pretend like I wasn't overjoyed to see that moment between these two, yeah, I can't even pretend. So it was incredible. And weirdly, I'm good with them not de-aging Hayden. I thought that was a nice, I was good with that.
I feel like they did a little bit.
In the first bit.
I think they found a nice line between, because sometimes if you go too far back, it gets into the uncanny valley.
Yeah.
And so LA.
I think they pulled him back just enough. That was funny. I didn't laugh at it, but it was funny.
He's not laughing, but it's funny.
All right.
Wow.
Okay. That was good. But no, I feel like they pulled him back just enough to where it was like not, it didn't take me out of it. But he certainly like they did some, there's definitely some work done in those scenes.
Yeah.
To like, you know, because he doesn't look like 45 in those scenes, though he does in real life.
Yeah.
In a good way. Like, he looks great. I saw him from
afar,
100 feet away at Celebration. But
yeah. Yeah, and he had the classic Anakin smile when he thought he had him beat. And I just, that little moment actually was a very big moment for my heart. So overall, yeah, I absolutely love the episode. I don't really have any critiques for it, if I'm being quite honest. It was also my favorite episode so far of the show. And it makes me very excited to see next week's and the finale, which we can go ahead and go into and do predictions. Which, by the way, our predictions for this show before it's aired, and if you went back and listened or watched, we had some pretty good predictions for the show in general, so expecting a lot out of you.
Oh, two. I 100% called all of the Reva Grand Inquisitor stuff.
You did
episode 3.
Yeah, you absolutely did. I called Leia being in this show, but even I didn't know how much she'd be in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think going back to like, because Reva to me, like I after the first two episodes, I was like, I don't really understand. I you know. She wasn't in very much the first episode, right? I think it was less than 10 minutes of screen time.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was like a little bit like, there's so many villains.
Yeah.
And I didn't quite understand why they introduced a new Inquisitor, right? And the first episodes didn't give me a good sense of like what Reva's place was within the idea of telling this Kenobi Vader storyline again, right?
Yep.
Obviously, after episode 3, I said what I said about how I got very excited about her character all of a sudden because I understood that she was going to be the like pin between Kenobi and Vader.
Yeah.
And I called a lot of how that played out, but I was wrong about that, right? Because she isn't between the two of them.
No.
She is the third spoke of the triangle. And what I really loved about this episode, and what I think is going to play so well into next week's episode, is that, because I was really thinking that Obi-Wan was there to save her soul, right? I was like, the story is going to be about, can Obi-Wan pull her far enough away from Vader that she's saved, or will she ultimately fall to the dark side, right? And the truth is, that's not what this story is about. She has fully gone to the dark side.
Yep.
And part of the reason why she's gone to the dark side, in her eyes, is Kenobi's fault, right?
Yep.
he wasn't there. And so she became so angry at Vader for stabbing her with his lightsaber, which is very easy to survive in Star Wars. I don't want to hear anyone else be like, but she was stabbed. How is she alive? Everyone survives.
She's angry. By lightsabers. She has the will.
I guess Qui-Gon just died from old age. He was the only one that got stabbed and just couldn't handle it.
He's the Uncle Ben of Star Wars.
Well, didn't he get sliced in half?
Or no, that's Maul. He got stabbed almost in the exact same spot that we've seen like two other people get stabbed in this show alone, but died.
But he wasn't fueled by hatred and revenge, Jeffers. You can only survive lightsaber wounds if you are fueled by anger.
Then I know I'm going to be Sith if I was in this universe so I can live longer. Simple as that.
Because it's kind of been the joke ever since Maul came back, right? Because he's like, he was just so mad that he didn't die. And so, people on the dark side survive lightsaber wounds because they're angry, which is insane. But I think that going into the final episode, I don't really think that like the possibility of salvation is in the future for Reva.
No.
But I do think that I think what's going to be interesting about it is Obi-Wan looking at her and at Vader. And we're going to have a beat where he thinks that Vader can be saved, right? To go into A New Hope where... or into the original trilogy where Vader says Obi-Wan once thought as you did, that there's good in him, that he can be saved. We need to see that moment. And so what I'm curious about for the finale is, why does Obi-Wan think that Vader can be saved but Reva can't? Because I think right now the way that he like straight up ditched her to like be killed by Vader when he's like, we can work together on this, wink wink, and then he gets on the ship and gets out of Dodge and leaves her to fight Vader on her own. Why does he think that he can save Vader's soul in the finale, and why doesn't he think he can save Reva's? And that's going to be what the whole finale is about for me.
Okay.
I think it might come down to Luke, honestly. I think that's going to be the place there, because now Reva knows. So I think that might be the determining factor for why Obi-Wan doesn't consider Reva savable.
Yeah, but he didn't know that beforehand.
If it does, though, then Vader can't be there.
No, he can't.
No.
And that really becomes the problem is I want Vader to be a part of the finale. And so the what is interesting about her picking up the communicator and hearing Owen, Tatooine, the boy, right? Those are kind of the words that get through to her, mm-hmm. is that if she goes there, Vader can't follow her there.
True.
No.
And so I don't know what the finale is if Vader's not in it. I want the final confrontation between Obi-Wan and Vader. And I think that we will get that, or maybe the first half of the episode will be finishing off the Vader storyline, and then the second half of the episode will be finishing off the Reva storyline. Yeah. Although that is also tough, because is he just going to kill Reva on the sands of Tatooine, and is that not just too similar to what happens with Maul? Like, it becomes tough in terms of like the canon of it, but.
And is when Reva gets to Tatooine, is, you know, Bail Organa already going to be there? Like, he said that was his next step anyway. So is there going to be two separate things going on? Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Because that was the next phase.
You've got to imagine we're going to get more Brea, right? Like, we've gotten very little Brea Organa. I feel like we have to go back to Alderaan at some point.
Yeah, there's got to be a resolution there. Like, we have to know that she goes back to Alderaan. I get like before.
Well, yeah, she gets home. Unless it ends on a cliffhanger and it teases season two, right?
Yeah.
Because now they've talked about how there have been rumors out that they've changed their plans and they're going to do a season two because Ewan really wants to. And that like there's a whole rumor that like Reva was supposed to die, but now she doesn't because they want a season two or something. Like there's all these things being said that may or may not be true, right? I don't know what I believe, but. If they do that, like a cliffhanger to lead to season two would be very fun. I just, with their production calendar, when would season two come? It wouldn't be next spring, right? Like we're getting Mandalorian in February. So I don't think we would get that season until late next year.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. Just they're already filming Ahsoka and then they got to do Mandalorian. There's a lot coming down the docket. But if anyone can do it, it's Dave Filoni. Busy man.
Yeah.
So what are your predictions, Jeffers?
I mean, they already said a little bit what I was going to say. I mean, I'm going to shoot my half-court shot, which really doesn't even feel like a half-court. It feels more like a three-pointer now after everything that's gone on. They're definitely... I almost guarantee this is not wrapping up. It's a cliffhanger because, yeah, these are all rumors, but... And I've watched the rumors spread, right? Like, this is how I usually do it with Star Wars especially, or any rumors video game related as well. When I see the little sides to it, I'm like, all right, that's probably clickbait. But then when it starts spreading through like a bunch of them, and I'm just like, and then I take on that numbers. Kenobi was the biggest Disney Plus show they've ever had. You have Obi, you have Ewan who's like, I want to do more. You have Hayden who's like, I want to do more. Why? It's so easy. They're not going to walk away from that. They're just not. It's a business thing at that point. And the power of editing, folks, is very powerful. Fading to black is an easy solution to many things. And yeah, I don't know about changing the ending so much as cutting it off and just removing maybe part of what they were going to do and just not using that basically and then doing something different for season two. Yeah, I see this ending on a cliffhanger. How we get to that cliffhanger, though, I'm not sure. Does Reva become... Is a situation that's like the enemy of my enemy is my friend? Is that the dynamic that Obi-Wan and Reva have at the end of the day? But she has to do it in a very aggressive way because she's like, look, like she shows up basically like, I will freaking kill the kid and Owen if you do not actually help me with this. And then that becomes the triangle literally face to face at some point, whether it be this season or next, between the three of them standing in front of each other. I don't know. But I do very much think we're going to see a cliffhanger. I think Reva is going to go for the throat. And obviously, Nerdy's right. Vader cannot be there when she's on Tatooine. He just can't. Like, he literally can't. It would make zero sense. And so I don't see that happening. So I really think it's going to be the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
He wouldn't, like... The problem with Vader going back to Tatooine is that becomes what the show has to be about, right? Is like, him being on Tatooine would emotionally subsume the rest of the show.
Yeah, and he can't get too close to Luke, obviously.
Yeah, so there's a lot of reasons.
Or Leia. The real question I have is Leia returning, like, is he getting Leia back to her planet this episode and then going straight to Tatooine, or is Leia coming along for the ride?
Well, she may go to Tatooine because, you know, he already said he's going there. So are they going to go?
Then her and Luke can't get anywhere near each other really either. They're old enough to like.
I don't think they'll meet. No.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Leia and Vader can meet, though, because the thing about Leia is that she's met Vader prior to A New Hope.
That's true.
Because when she first interacts with him A New Hope, she's like, Lord Vader. Yeah. Like, she literally talks to him like they saw each other at a business meeting a week ago, right? Like, there's no...
Or an HR
there isn't
meeting.
A, like, why are you 8 feet tall and covered in armor? There's no... Yeah. You know what I mean? It's
true,
not...
True.
In A New Hope, she walks into that without... You know, she doesn't even take a breath. She just starts berating this frightening figure in front of her.
The most frightening figure in the galaxy she just starts ripping into.
Right, which leads me to believe, like... That they've probably crossed paths before. Right.
True. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. But I still don't think he can get anywhere near Luke for that to make any sense.
No. And he definitely can't go to Tatooine. I just, like, he can't go back to Owen's farm. It would be very strange. As much as I would love to see Vader and Obi-Wan fight on the sands of Tatooine, the mental gymnastics involved in keeping canon together and them do that would be very weird. They could. Yep. Like, there's a way that they could, right? Like, they could play it off as, like, Kenobi draws Vader to Tatooine. And they could write it out as Obi-Wan is trying to use Tatooine to throw Vader off. And so Vader thinks the reason that they're there is because Obi-Wan is trying to use Vader's history and the incident with the Tuskens to, like, get him off of his game.
Yeah, that'd be a bit of a stretch.
And so... It would be, but like there's a way that you could make that interesting and really make it be that like in order to hide his intention, Obi-Wan is taunting Vader with his failures.
Yeah. Also,
but there's so many other things that they could do that are just so much cleaner for canon. I don't know why they would do that.
Yeah,
I don't think they will.
Also, to address the Reva thing, I don't think Obi-Wan necessarily means I don't think he thinks she's not savable. I just remember the first conversation they had at the door and she basically said no. So I think really at that point, I mean, again, he's a Jedi, but at the same time, it's a different time. And it's like, all right, well,
consent is important in the Star Wars universe. You know what I mean? Like,
consent is always important in any universe. And so at that point it became of like, all right, fine. You don't trust me to go with you. Then, you know, I'm in this situation. I don't have a choice. I have to give myself up. I'm like, fine. He's all yours. Like, I'll set him up for you. It's all you. Like, if you're not going to work, you know, he tried to get her to work with her and she's just like, I'm not doing this. Like, I don't, because she's right. She called him out. She's like, do you actually want to kill Anakin? long pause, nothing.
Yeah.
She knows doesn't want to. He knows that if he had the chance, he would not pull the trigger, so to speak.
Well, he's been having enough like nightmares. We just saw that, in episode one, where he just kept seeing Padme saying, you know, there's still good in him. He still has to try. Just that one instant wasn't enough.
That's a good point.
And this is just a tactic. Like, from today, he was just using his battle strategy, you know, both from any lightsaber fight, anytime he's worked with him, you know, anytime during him as a Padawan and a master. Like, for him, he hasn't really had that option because all he's been is emotional. Yeah. And like he said, he's like, he only directs his focus at me.
Yeah. And his first priority for Obi-Wan was to save the innocent people.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, mm-hmm. I think that was his first priority. And actually, like, Nerdy, you talk about goading Vader with like the sins of the past. I think if anything, I don't know how he would do it. It was just going to be kind of thrown out, kind of a long prediction, is like, if he was going to goad Vader with anything, I think it'd be Padme. I think the pure mention of Padme, or somehow the memory of Padme, I don't know how, obviously, and not on Tatooine, would be, or his mother, one of the two. If it's going to be Tatooine, I actually just think talking about goading him with his mother at all would be a better strategy. One of those two people, because that would get a rise even out of Vader, I think.
But that's why Tatooine works, though, right?
Yeah, because you're right.
He can use Shmi.
Yeah,
exactly. And like, hide Luke by making going to Tatooine about Shmi.
Yep.
Or... Yeah. And hear me out, they go to Oda Gunga and they fight on Naboo under the sea. And Jar Jar's there, and they have like a little... Jar Jar finally pulls the Sith red blade, and this is where we get Darth Jar Jar confirmed next week on Obi-Wan Kenobi in the three-way lightsaber battle in Oda Gunga. How we feel about that?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
As long as they sing Under the Sea from The Little Mermaid while they're there, I'm golden.
Yeah, Sebastian the Crab is there.
Yeah, I need Sebastian the Crab to be there, and I want them all sing Under the Sea. And also, Qui-Gon's Force Ghost, even if he can't technically do it, needs to show up and just watch the whole thing.
Oh, do we think the Force Ghost is going to show up on this one? Nope.
No, well, first off, we have...
The voice of Qui-Gon will.
You think the voice of Qui-Gon will show up in the last...
We're going to hear Liam Neeson next week, either when Vader is about to win the fight, and he, like, gives Obi-Wan the pep talk he needs to win. It's going to be reminiscent of either Return of the Jedi, or they're going to be reminiscent of The Rise of Skywalker, and they're going to, like, call in that moment where, like, all of the Jedi speak to Rey.
Yeah.
So it's either Qui-Gon's going to appear in that moment, or at the very end of the show, Obi-Wan Kenobi is going to have accomplished whatever he accomplishes, and he's going to sit down and he's going to commune with Qui-Gon for the first time.
See, and that's why I think it won't be in there, because I think since they're doing a season two, that was supposed to happen after this was all over. So they're going to save it.
They're going to do a little reveal. I think they're going to get us. They're going to give us a morsel. They gave us, you know, that callback to Empire. We've got to have another.
Well, and it's just, there have been too many beats in the show so far where Obi-Wan has asked and reached out, that if this episode doesn't have the like resolution of that, it will feel weird in terms of the story of the season. If you don't have that moment happen, what is the resolution of Obi-Wan's arc in terms of season one, right? And I think that it is a little bit cheap, but it is the easiest way to put some resolution on. And not like literally cheap, obviously. I think Liam Neeson's time is probably very expensive, but
I
think from a narrative standpoint, he has to satisfy that at some point in this.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I'm still going to do the stance that it doesn't happen just because I think they're going to save it. But if it does happen, that'll be great. And I think you're right. It'll be a good narrative payoff, and cheap or not cheap. Like, I mean, they've kind of, you know, he's reached out to him, what, how many times now? At least two or three?
Four.
Okay, so like, yeah, it won't, even if I'm wrong, it won't necessarily surprise me, because like, they have teased it over and over again, but I still feel like they're going to save it just because I think their direction of this has changed a decent amount since they saw the success of the whole thing.
It can't have changed since then. Like, realistically, it can't have changed since they saw success. It's been 3 weeks.
Well, there's
like, you can't, there is no company on earth that is going to try and re-edit the ending of a television season 3 weeks.
I'm not saying re-edit
without any new footage or anything.
No, I'm not saying re-edit so much as like, so in my mind, how I imagine the Qui-Gon thing going is kind of like how you said it, but it's at the very, very end of the last episode. And if that's the case, that again, that really is not difficult to cut off before it happens, and you could even open season two with that. That's fine.
If all three of us agree, this would be boring.
To cut off. If it is a lot harder to cut off the ending of the thematic narrative of the show in season one than just like, oh, the show will just end like The Sopranos. Like that is a really hard thing to convince a director to do, right? I don't think Deborah Chow is sitting around and being like, I've created this thing that I'm proud of, but sure, you can just end it whenever. It really depends on her contract, and it depends on what kind of control she had over the edit and what kind of control she had over, you know, how the story is told. And also, I don't think that a company wants to burn a bridge in order to just have something just end. Like, I think that if they continue into a season two, maybe a scene where, like, Reva's death is left ambiguous is edited, but the thematic ending of the narrative of the protagonist being cut short so that there's... I just don't see the purpose in that, and sure. I think that it would... You would feel it, right? Like the score would literally be sweeping up to the resolution and it would just end.
Fade to
and
black.
So I don't know. I if they recorded it, it will be in the show. If they recorded it and it didn't work, it won't. But if they recorded it and it worked at any point, it'll be in the show.
So two things. One, like, gotta commend Deborah Chow on just an amazing job, I think, for this, show.
Yeah.
I think she's done phenomenal.
And we'll dive into that more next week too on our overall.
So next week we're gonna do like a just overall review and how we felt about the closing of that's actually my next question. Two questions. One, this is the last two things I'd like to predict. If there is a season two, let's say there is, right? Will we get that reveal at the end of the episode next week? Like, Kenobi returns in season two. Are we going to get that, or is it going to be an announcement down the line at some Star Wars event? Let's hypothetically say there is one. Which one do you think it would be? Is it happening? Because I personally, if they have the numbers they've said from this show, I think they're doing it. If they're going to do it, they're going to do it at the end of this episode.
I think they might look at it later. I don't think they'd put it at the end of the episode.
I think you already got those viewers hooked. I think that's the best way to do it.
Star Celebration is in April. Like,
I understand that. It's not. I don't look at this from like a fan service type way. I look at this from like a business perspective. And like, how do you keep capitalizing on those numbers? I mean, I'm not trying to sound
business perspective. The business perspective of it is that if the show ends on a cliffhanger, you let them know. Right. Yeah. Because if you end the show on a cliffhanger without there being a guaranteed season two, then the audience will rot. Like the online narrative about it would be bad.
Right.
And if the show ends and there's a satisfactory ending and it all comes to a close, then you don't tell them about season two yet.
Right.
You let them enjoy the ending of season two, get the good buzz. And then when people start to stop talking about Kenobi, then you announce season two.
But you both think it's going to be a cliffhanger, don't you? I do. Do you not?
I think it's going to be open-ended in a way, but I don't know if it'll be a full-on cliffhanger. I'm not quite sure. There has to be certain resolution across the arc.
Maybe it's just me. I definitely think it'll be a cliffhanger.
I'm not convinced that there will be a season two. I think that there are rumors of a season two. I think there could be a different show that these characters return in. Okay. I think that a season two of Obi-Wan Kenobi... I don't know if we'll get a direct sequel in that way. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we were to get a sequel to this in the form of much in the same way that I think Book of Boba Fett sequelized season two of Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I could see Obi-Wan reappearing in something set in this time period and Darth Vader reappearing in something set in this time period or even like a Darth Vader show or something like that. I think. But a season two of Obi-Wan Kenobi, it just gets really hard to constantly throw him into Avengers adventures.
And he has to, like, again, he still has his main mission of protecting the kids. That's the thing for me is like how does he keep getting into mortal danger again and again?
That's cool. No,
and how many times can you pull him away from Luke and it still feel, you know what I mean? Like it becomes tough. So I think if they've come up with a really good story for it, great. If not, I don't know. We'll see.
I think we're going to pull the trigger and figure out the story along the way. But all right, the second and last question I have for prediction is, does Reva die?
No, not.
Yeah.
At the end or
at
like.
No, look, We don't know if it's going to be season two. We don't know what's going to happen.
At the end of this episode or by
the end of next week?
Next week?
End of next week?
Last episode. No, not this week.
No, she's still alive. It would be very strange. It would be so weird.
We come back to the opening episode. Sure, she's just laying there dead and nothing comes of the hologram.
This little thing. She's like,
nothing comes of it. No. So the final episode.
She comes back as a Force ghost at the beginning of next week and tells Vader about Luke.
Amazing.
Break Star Wars. Everyone gets pissed.
Does she die at the end of this last episode? And if you had to make a very quick prediction of how she would die, how she goes out in terms of like, is it a hero? Is it a just revenge? Is it, you know, combination of two? Like, what is it? Either one, whoever has the idea. I'll just start with let you two basically think. That I asked at the end because I think it's the toughest one because I think there's so much discourse going on about what if about a season two, and I think it really depends. She's been a big part of this show, at least towards the back half of it, right? And we saw her, she was at Star Wars Celebration, the actress. Part of me makes me think that this just isn't the last we're going to see of her. And I don't know if that was always the original plan or if it's going to change or whatever, but obviously she's not going to be at Vader's side anymore. That is a given. That is done. That bridge is burned. I think it is very possible that she dies, so I could be very wrong about this and I wouldn't be too surprised, but if I had a bet, I'm just going to bet that she doesn't die and that we'd see her in either the next season or in some other capacity. I don't think you get stabbed in the stomach and then roll into the next final episode and then just die. However it happens. I just don't see it happening. And I also know that she's not going to just roll up in the next episode and be like, I'm ready to fight Vader again. There's just no way, especially after getting her butt kicked literally just all over the
planet. I don't know. Planet. Obi-Wan healed from those burns real quick at top of episode four.
We talked about this in a Clone Wars episode. Bacta is everything. And if we could just bottle that, friends, we would be rich and live forever.
Yeah. So. I think she dies. There is something to the not to get too real world about it, how many times is the only person who dies in the Star Wars thing going to be a woman of color? It does kind of get to the Fallen Order, obviously, with Trilla. Yep. And then the only people who have died in this show really are Indira Varma's character. And if it's Reva, and then, there is the dialogue around Solo Val in Solo, right?
Yep.
And so it just kind of gets to the point where it's it seems like specifically women of color.
Yeah.
It's like scary movies, They're the first ones to go. It's the same crap,
Yeah, so then I'm really just also hoping that that's not the case.
I mean, here's the thing. If it narratively makes sense and the characters, I think that both Tala and Vera, or Reva, oh my God,
you're good.
That's
you're
good. A dyslexic moment for me.
Yeah, you're good.
Their narratives have been really strong, and I think those characters were both given a lot to do, and I really enjoyed the performances and everything they've done so far.
Yeah.
So it's tough because you don't want to make it about the real world thing, but there is an element of it that's
for sure.
This string of characters, the only characters who die forever in Star Wars seem to be these women of color. I don't know. It's interesting.
You think she dies? How do you think she goes?
Here's the thing. I think Vader just kills her, but
okay.
Here's the thing. We're getting to the point where it feels a lot like Second Sister. And
yeah, I know. I'm seeing some serious parallels to Jedi Fallen Order and stuff like this.
Yeah, and so what I don't want it to be is that Vader walks up behind her and stabs her through the chest again.
Yep.
And that it is literally the same shot. If she's going to go out by Vader, I want it to be different.
I just
don't know what that is.
I think if she dies, I'm not saying that I'm switching my prediction. I'm just saying if I'm playing the camp of if she dies, I think she has Star Wars is so much very much about hope. I feel like what she does is she ends giving them the chance to escape or somehow in some way helping somebody else right before she dies. That is her last dying action, if that's going to play out. I don't think she dies just to get stabbed in the chest while she's not looking at Vader. I mean, I really hope that's not how it plays out. But I think to go through her entire character arc, I feel like that something like that has to happen if she's going to die.
I think she has to die because what's her place in all of this afterwards? Like, if I was in the rebellion, would I really trust somebody that has killed so many foreigners? She's done so many terrible things.
No, she's not in the rebellion.
Is she redeemable as a person that you could trust is a question, or as an ally of this newfound rebellion?
Rebellion's full of people who've done questionable things, though. Like, that's kind of Cassian Andor's whole thing.
Which we'll find out in Andor on August 31st.
Right, you're right. Like, it's like the the enemy of my enemy trope of the rebellion is not new, right?
Yeah. No, I just...
No, I
look at Rebels. Rebels has like one of the great.
I haven't seen it, so.
Yeah, no, you're right. Rebels has that thing as well. But I get where Claudia's coming from, but also from like a narrative perspective, right? Because like, how do you just have this super powerful? I mean, we've had other ones, but they've gone into hiding, which I guess she could do that. She could.
Capable of that as her character, unless she completely has a
180 all of a sudden. The part that I wouldn't be able to get, like, it's not that she can't join the good side or that she can't like it's not allowed for her to like basically do what the other Jedi have and like, you know, kind of like go into hiding. That's just not her. That's the thing. I just don't see that happening is all.
More she was hiding in plain sight for such a long time. She can't.
Nah, she's not going back. This is her death march if she's gonna die.
I think that if she does die, the only reason I can think of for her to die at this point is that she dies taking the truth that Obi-Wan Kenobi is still alive to the grave with her.
Okay.
And so I think that if she gets killed by Vader, it will be as a consequence of telling him that she killed Obi-Wan, meaning that he didn't get to.
Yeah.
And so I think that if he kills her, it will be because she took away the opportunity for him to kill Obi-Wan. And that will be what like leads out of the show and into this like next 10 years where Vader isn't constantly chasing down Obi-Wan because he believes him to be dead. Right. I don't know how they pull that off. Like, I don't know how she convinces him of that lie.
Especially not at this
point. I could see that making sense in terms of the storyline of the show. And how we get to the canon of the end of their kind of interaction, right?
I don't know how she convinces him of that without his lightsaber, which we obviously see in A New Hope, though.
If she, like, kicks him off a cliff or something, I don't know.
Maybe.
I will even add on to Nerdy, if that is the case, that would make sense. But I think part of her motivation would be, because she's finding out about Owen and Luke, I think part of her motivation would be knowing that somebody else was going to eventually kill Anakin. Because I think she is so obsessed with that I don't see that obsession just going away. But if she kind of knows a little bit more about who, about his descendants, she could see that, like, if I can't do the job, someone's going to do the job down the line, and I will die for that. I will die for someone else killing him someday.
I don't know. I don't think Darth's going to kill. I think if anyone kills her, it might be the Grand Inquisitor, to be honest. There's a lot of hate
also
there.
Also fun.
Yeah.
Rupert Friend, he, the way that he enjoyed the scene of being like lording over her that he was still alive, fantastic.
Oh yeah.
He did a good job.
Harrison and I talked about it. Yep.
But I want the scene of Vader and him going down on the shuttle where Vader's like, look, this is going to be hilarious. I'm going to like beat the crap out of her. And then you wait around the corner until I'm done. And after I've stabbed her and she's on the ground dying, then you're going to walk. It's going to be perfect timing, bro. Like, it's going to be so funny.
Those were some good lines there with the like, oh, I knew youngling or whatever. So whatever you said about the youngling piece, I was like, Vader. He knew. I was like,
that
was
the entire time.
I was like, oh, that was a nice touch that he actually knew that, 'cause she was like, I was hiding amongst the bodies. I had no idea that, you know, he actually paid attention that much.
That's the thing. Vader's always like 10 steps ahead, really.
Yeah. So that was fun. And I think Rupert Friend did a great job in that scene. So
yeah, did.
I wouldn't mind if it came down to the two of them. I feel like the Grand Inquisitor has to factor into the finale in some way.
Yeah.
Also, like, is Fifth Brother going to come back? Like, how long is this episode? Because here's the thing. What we know what we know is that the episode plus the Q&A is an hour and 33 minutes. Because Cineplex put out that timeline.
Ooh.
We tried to get tickets to go see it in theaters. We did not get those tickets. Unfortunately.
Wish that was a thing here.
I think it is. I think it's like maybe it's all across the US and Canada. Okay. But they sold out like instantly here because there's two options. You can see just the finale in the Q&A, or it's a 5-hour, 20-minute experience where you can watch the entire season in the Q&A next Wednesday. We did not get either. We're very sad about it. But
the Q&A has to be at least 30 minutes. So you got to say now that that means this episode is no longer than an hour.
Well, it's, I don't think it would be longer than an hour anyway, no, right? Like, no episode of any Marvel or Disney Plus, and Marvel or Star Wars Disney Plus show has been longer than like 55 minutes, I think was the longest.
I'm banking on 50 something then, kind of like one of the first episodes, basically.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be long, but like, and how many things? I don't know. I'm excited. If you don't think Liam Neeson's showing up, do you think that there's going to be another cameo in the finale?
There have been a lot of like, subtle, like, I mean, like I did the breakdown video, which you haven't watched on YouTube, go. There's been so many both small and big callbacks to other Star Wars things in this show. Mm-hmm. So I don't really want to say no, because like I feel like if there's any time where that would happen, it'd be this episode. But I just like racking my brain trying to think of who it would be. Like if it's not Liam Neeson, like who like it's not Qui-Gon, then who is the cameo? Because I can't really think of one.
It wouldn't be Padme. It wouldn't do a callback to that.
Man, I don't want to get my hopes up for that. I don't think.
In a flashback?
Yeah, we got it today.
Well, that's true.
Know?
We got the flashback. And like, I guess if we're going like real Hail Mary and he does play the, you know, bait him with the Padme card and then, you know, he has a flashback, then yeah, that's possible. That's absolutely possible. And like me getting goosebumps right now would mean I would freak out. But, you know, she'd be too ripped though. I think she might just like squeeze the an orange or something. And just like, I mean, we saw the trailer for the most recent trailer for Thor and it's just like, she's holy ripped. Crap.
It's Buff Girls.
Yeah, they had to de-age Anakin and they had to debuff.
They're like, whoa, girl, you've been working out in between being pregnant.
I want to be like in the room at the CGI studio when like Kathleen Kennedy walks in and is like, so I need you to make her muscles less big.
She's
and just
scary.
See the people behind the table be like,
This is a first.
Okay, sure.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of anyone. I don't think we'll see like Quilon Voss or anything like that. Though the internet keeps thinking they're going to. I actually do think we'll see Quilon Voss at some point in something Star Wars related.
Let's get a Tala series, and then we can see Quilon Voss and how she helped
him. I'm not
getting
a Tala series, as much as I would love a Tala series. Nerdy tweeted out, I'll take a book.
Oh,
I'll take
you?
Anything, yeah.
Oh, I want a Tala book, either Claudia I'll Gray or E.K. Johnson. I tweeted it, I want it. I want
I
the,
wants
like...
It.
All right, so let's
I
wrap.
Want the story of how she became a double agent. One thing, I do think if we do get a cameo...
That's what I was going
to... I think the one that I think we could get... would be Mon Mothma.
Okay. Yeah,
like right at that. Because it would be, I think it would be like right at the start of her Senate career. So I think if Mon Mothma is with Bail or like to show the two of them starting to work together in the rebellion in a way that's going to lead into Andor.
Yeah.
I think that would be a fun little cameo to kind of tie those shows together.
Yeah, that would make sense. And like, it's not really like even like a true rebellion right now. It's like the start of it. So like that would be part of the thing that would kind of like move it forward or at least move it.
I'm not even saying they're working in the rebellion. I'm saying just show that the two of them work together. Like show like she's like a junior senator, first year. Mm-hmm. And like he's already kind of mentoring her to kind of like insinuate the future relationship that they have. Sure. I think would be interesting.
Do you have if you had to throw out a cameo?
Padme was the one I threw out. So
I got nothing. No. I'm going if I had, those are both good. So I don't have anything to compete with either one of those. But yeah, I don't see Quilon Voss or Mace Windu. I'm kidding. Please, internet.
Quinlan.
Words are hard. Names are even harder.
No, you both said Quilon, and I was like, who's Quilon?
Quinlan. I don't see Quinlan happening.
Missing whole letters.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Any other thoughts? I think we covered really everything.
I think we're all super stoked for next week, though.
I am. I'm stoked.
I have one thing. If Vader does end up on Tatooine, I really hope that's how the episode starts. And they land on Tatooine and he walks down the plank and he's standing there and like the Grand Inquisitor walks up next to him and they're standing side by side and you just get to hear James Earl Jones's voice, whether it's actually him or a computer, I don't care.
Here it goes.
Say, I hate sand.
I knew it.
It's coarse and it's rough. and irritating.
What if
and
he just has a
everywhere.
Flashback to that? Just and I to just that moment. If that's the flashback, do you know how much Star Wars fans would rebel? They'd be like,
oh, no. I disagree. Flashbacks? We would lose our mind as a collective, like, meme joke. It would be so funny.
I just want to hear James Earl Jones in the Darth Vader suit. Or, like halfway through the episode, they've been fighting, and, like, Ewan gets away for a second. And we see Vader, like, take off his mechanical arm and, like, shake sand out of it and then put it back on.
Incredible.
That'd be so funny. All right. We're good?
Yeah, we're good.
All right, everyone.
Yeah, I'm good.
Thank you so much for watching or listening. Catch us next week when we go over the, you know, whatever happened in that episode, but also just the show as a whole. And let us know your predictions. So, teeny friends, may the Force be with you.
Which cameo did we miss?
Which cameo did we miss? And don't forget to subscribe everywhere, but also YouTube. All right. Bye, everybody.